Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this very sunny and very cool Sabbath, March 26, 2022. This is our part two review of our chapter 73 entitled, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. This is our part eight of our lesson 352. Welcome, dear ones. Our Tiny Tot team song is entitled Anywhere with Jesus, and our dear brother Dick will be the one to share it with us.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go, anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not afraid. Anywhere, anywhere, here I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus, I am not alone. Other friends may fail me, he is still my own. Though his hand may lead me over dreary ways, anywhere with Jesus is a house of praise. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep when the gloomy shadows round about me creep, knowing I shall wake and nevermore to roam. Anywhere with Jesus will be home, sweet home. Anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all of the brethren that are joining us. Is any one of the little tiny tots, by the help of their parent or elder siblings, would like to open their section with prayer? May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your blessed name, Lord Jesus. Thank you for bringing us through another week into this blessed Sabbath day. I pray that you open up our minds and our ears and our understanding, dear Father God, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray that you prepare us in a way, dear Father, that we may reach into heavenly places with thee this blessed Sabbath day. Please bless each and every one of us that are here and help us to participate, dear Father. Each and every one contributing so that we can edify each other. In all the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, little ones, mommies and daddies, let's see how those little blessings, our little helpers in our home, did this week by God's grace, that you can share the testimony. This is the time to do so.
This week on Mommy's and Daddy's Little Blessing, I would like to highlight Haley. This week, while I was doing laundry, I gave her all her undergarments and socks and everything to fold. And she did it cheerfully and even packed them away in the respective places. So I'd like to highlight Haley and thank the Lord for having her be a helping hand.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for helping Haley to help Mommy. And even though we don't have little ones here, we have older ones here, but they also become helpers for all of us as well. Well, dear ones, this is our review of our part two of the visit to the wise man, and our dear brother Dick will begin with the scriptures for our reading.
Whoops. Here we go. Okay. The Visit of the Wise Men, part two. If I'm not mistaken, what in the world is this here? You want me to begin with the scriptures first? All right. Matthew 2:2-11. Saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and he shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the child, or the young child, was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened his treasures, their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now you want me to go through the story section of it? Silence must give consent. Supposing that the Jews could at once guide them to the Savior, the wise men went into Jerusalem and said, "Where is he that's born King of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." But when Herod had heard these things, he was troubled. He was concerned, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and the scribes and the people, the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written in the prophets," Matthew 2:2-5. Herod did not like to hear of a king who might someday take his throne, as if he thought he was going to be around for a long time. So he took the wise men by themselves and asked them when they first saw the star. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." He lied to them, as you will learn later. When the wise men heard this, they started again on their journey. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their gifts, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, you notice they said when he came into the house. When the shepherds came to see Jesus, he was in a stable. And that's the night that the wise men, many, many miles away, saw the star and headed for Jerusalem. Well, in the meantime, Joseph found him a house to rent or buy or whatever. And that's how come when the wise men got there, it says, and they came, they were coming to the house. The most precious things they had, the wise men brought to the Savior.
they were impressed that there was a king being born, and you don't give kings chocolates and pretty cards. You give them gold, incense, and gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those are expensive things. In this, they set an example for us. Many give presents to their earthly friends, but have none for the heavenly friend, that's capitalized, that's Jesus, who has given them every blessing. We should do, we should not do this. We should not forget to bring our best friend gifts. To Christ, we should bring the best of all we have, of our time, our money, and most of all, of our love. We may give to him by giving to comfort the poor and to teach people about the Savior, so we can help to save those for whom Christ died. Such gifts Jesus blesses. This is from the story of Jesus, page 24. Thank you for listening. Back to you, Rose.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Next Sabbath, we will begin with a new chapter, which is chapter 4. It's entitled The Flight into Egypt, and that will be April 2nd, 2022. But do that, this is our review from the Desire Ages. We're going a little bit in depth so we can help the little ones with their moms and also the elder siblings to answer the three questions at the end. So, dear Brother Gray, is it okay for you to be able to continue on from the Desire Ages? That will elaborate on the chapter.
Sure. The wise men departed alone from Jerusalem. The shadows of night were fading as they left the gates, but to their great joy, they again saw the star and were directed to Bethlehem. That was their GPS. They had received no such intimation of the lowly estate of Jesus as was given to the shepherds. After a long journey, they had been disappointed by the indifference of the Jewish elders, the leaders. In other words, they weren't interested, and had left Jerusalem less confident than when they entered the city. Have we traveled all this distance for nothing? At Bethlehem, they found no royal guard stationed to protect the newborn king. None of the world's honored men were in attendance. Jesus was cradled in a manger, it says. His parents, uneducated peasants, were his only guardians. Do you suppose they took the manger with them when they left the barn? Could this be he of whom it was written that he should raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved of Israel, that he should be a light to the Gentiles and for salvation unto the ends of the earth? Isaiah 49:6 says, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. Beneath the lowly guise or appearance of Jesus, they recognized the presence of divinity. They gave their hearts to him as their Savior, and then poured out their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Is there another slide you wish me to read, Rose? There we go. What a faith was theirs. It might have been said of the wise men from the east, as afterwards of the Roman centurion, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. That's what Jesus said about the Roman centurion. The wise men had not penetrated Herod's design. In other words, they didn't see through his lies. Go find the young child and bring me word so I can come and worship him too. They had not penetrated Herod's designs toward Jesus. When the object of their journey was accomplished, they prepared to return to Jerusalem. They were men of their word, you know. Oh, yeah, we'll come back. intending to acquaint him with their success. But in a dream, they received a divine message to hold no further communication with him, the king Herod. Avoiding Jerusalem, they set out for their country by another route. In like manner, Joseph received warning to flee into Egypt with Mary and the child. And the angel said, "Be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Joseph obeyed without delay, setting out on the journey by night for greater security. Through the wise men, God had called the attention of the Jewish nation to the birth of his son. Their inquiries, or their questions in Jerusalem, the popular interest excited, and even the jealousy of Herod, which compelled the attention of the priests and rabbis, directed minds to the prophecies concerning the Messiah and to the great event which had just taken place. That's from Desire of Ages 63. You know, it's interesting to me. It says, "Be thou there," the angel said, "till I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." I wonder if in hearing that, Joseph and or Mary might have said, "You know, I read something where there was a cry in Ramah because the children were slain. I wonder if that applies to this time." We don't know what they thought, but back to you. Thanks for listening, and back to you, Rose.
Amen. Very interested. But it's exactly. If they were believers in prophecy, you never know, because that's how they all used to be able to be inspired by the events. You never know, Brother Dick. Just like us today, as we hear these things them happening, we go back to the events to see what the Lord has to say. So you never know. Very interesting. And this is the three questions I'm going to bubble down for you to be able to share.
Before the three questions, you know, it said in there, they accepted Jesus as their Savior. Won't it be nice? In the resurrection, for them to see Jesus, the one they took gifts to, and to realize that in turn, he gives them eternal life. Okay, what continued to lead the wise men when they left Jerusalem? What helped them continue their journey?
We know that the star continued to lead them, but the star was actually a band of angels.
That's right. And where did it lead them? I guess I already told you that.
It led them to the house for which Mary and Joseph had Jesus from Christ, Bethlehem of Judea. Yes.
And what gifts did they bring to Jesus?
They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Those were precious items that apparently were not on every street corner in Jerusalem. And those were gifts from the Orient, where they came from. They brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What did they do with that, do you think? Well, they probably turned it into cash to pay for their trip to Egypt and their stay there until the angel came and told them to go back to Bethlehem. We'll see you again next week, Joan. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You should try, everyone, to tap into those three gifts. You will be amazed that the Lord had gave them a bank account, help, or how you say, provision in case of any injury. Because if you see the properties of the myrrh and the frankincense, you will see how beautiful the provision that God had given to his people, exactly what they needed. And that is the beauty of divine providence. Dear ones, we come to the section for a precious lesson in nature and the gems that are hidden beneath God's creation. So let's have our listening ears by God's grace. And our dear brother Josh will be the one to continue on the part 6 review of our topic, the water of life.
All right, it's your turn, Josh.
Apologies, everyone. I was in the bathroom. Okay, let's see today's reading. Easter, Jerusalem. They have reached the land of Israel and are descending the Mount of Olives. To Jerusalem in sight, when lo, the star that has guided them all the weary way rests above the temple, and after a season fades from their view. With eager steps they press onward, confidently expecting the Messiah's birth to be the joyful burn of every tongue. But their inquiries are in vain. Entering the holy city, they repair to the temple. To their amazement, they find none who seem to have a knowledge of the newborn king. Their questions call forth no expressions of joy, but rather surprise and fear, not unmingled with contempt. The arrival of the Magi was quickly noised throughout Jerusalem. Their strange errand created an excitement among the people, which penetrated the palace of King Herod. The wily Edomite was aroused at the intimation of a possible rival. Countless murders had stained his pathway to the throne. Being of alien blood, he was hated by the people over whom he ruled. His only security was the favor of Rome, but this new prince had a higher claim. He was going to the kingdom. Herod expected the priests of plotting with the strangers to set a popular tumult and unseat him from the throne. He conceals mistrust, however, determined to thwart their schemes by superior cunning. Summoning the chief priests and the scribes, he questioned them as to the teacher of their sacred books regarding the place Messiah's birth. Herod suspected the priests of plotting with the strangers to excite a popular tumult and unseat him from the throne. He concealed his mistrust, however, determined to thwart their schemes by superior cunning. Summoning the chief priests and the scribes, he questioned them as to the teaching of their sacred books in regards to the place of the Messiah's birth. Gifts for the baby king. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Matthew 2:9-10. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Beneath the lowly guise of Jesus, they recognized the presence of divinity. They gave their hearts to him as their savior, and then poured out their gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. What a faith was theirs. It might have been said of the wise men from the east, as after the Roman centurion, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Matthew 8:10, the desire of ages pages 63-64. These men of integrity were being led by God. Their faith was richly rewarded. Herod now invited the Magi to a private interview. A tempest of wrath and fear was raging in his heart, but he preserved a calm exterior and received the strangers courteously. He inquired of what time the star had appeared and professed to hail with joy the intimation of the birth of Christ. He bade his visitors search diligently for the young child. When he had found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. So saying, he dismissed them to go on their way to Bethlehem. The desire of ages 60-62. Herod was not a man of integrity. These were the priests and leaders of Israel, men of integrity. And as reminders, as you work together as a family, let your chores remind you of your lesson. And two, as you put things away in the refrigerator after a meal, think how they are kept from spoiling. Remember how Jesus keeps us, he says, he kept the wise men of integrity. And I'll give that to Mom.
So remember, dear ones, anywhere, fear I cannot know. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Welcome to all the dear brethren that are joining us in the room. For those that are listening over other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing, everyone. Our opening song to our theme is a hymn entitled, I Am Thine, O Lord, also known as Draw Me Nearer. If you have the hymn book, it's number 306. If you would like to share the hymn, may you unmute your mic to do so. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious leading side.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And we pray, dear sister, that you'll be feeling much better by God's grace. Welcome to all the dear brethren. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open a family review with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for another Sabbath that we can come and worship you and study your word and learn to be like you. Help us to remember the lessons that are taught today and practice them throughout the week. Bless each one that came to the meeting today. Help us to pay close attention to what's being presented. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear Brother Gray. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from John 14, verse 1 to 3. It's a memory verse, margin, and I will play.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So let us begin our review, dear ones. So what have we learned and ways we have grown? Before we hear your question, your comments, or anything you would like to share with the Remnant family, we will review once more last Sabbath study in part one of our part eight, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. If any one of the dear Remnant family would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Have a blessing, everyone. We're reading from Desire of Ages, pages 674. Jesus looked with compassion on his disciples. He cannot save them from the trial, but he does not leave them comfortless. He assures them that he is to break the fetters of the tomb and that his love for them will not fail. After I am risen again, he says, I will go before you unto Galilee, Matthew 26:32. Before the denial, they have the assurance of forgiveness. After his death and resurrection, they knew that they were forgiven and were dear to his heart, to the heart of Christ. Amen.
And continuing on the next slide, Jesus and the disciples were on the way to Gethsemane at the foot of Mount Olivet, a retired spot which he had often visited for meditation and prayer. The Savior had been explaining to his disciples his mission to the world and the spiritual relation to him which they were to sustain. Now he illustrates the lesson. The moon is shining bright and reveals to him a flourishing grapevine. Drawing the attention of the disciples to it, he employs it as a symbol. This was the Desire of Ages, page 674, paragraph 2.
And continuing the reading, I am the true vine, he says. Instead of choosing the graceful palm, the lofty cedar, or the strong oak, Jesus takes the vine with its clinging tendrils to represent himself. The palm tree, the cedar, and the oak stand alone. They require no support, but the vine entwines about the trellis and thus climbs heavenward. So Christ, in his humanity, was dependent upon divine power. I can of mine own self do nothing, he declared. John chapter 5, verse 30. That was Desire of Ages, page 674, paragraph 3. And on the slide, it shows the picture of the palm tree, the cedar, and also the oak. And on the bottom, it says a verse from John chapter 5, verse 30, King James Version. Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which had sent me. Amen.
Continuing into page 675, paragraph 1. I am the true vine. The Jews had always regarded the vine as the most noble of plants, and a type of all that was powerful, excellent, and fruitful. Israel had been represented as a vine which God had planted in the promised land. The Jews based their hope of salvation on the fact of their connection with Israel. But Jesus says, I am the real vine. Think not that through a connection with Israel, you may become partakers of the life of God and inheritors of his promise. Through me alone, a spiritual life received. Amen.
The Desire of Ages, page 675. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. On the hills of Palestine, our Heavenly Father had planted this goodly vine, and he himself was the husbandman. Many were attracted by the beauty of this vine, and declared its heavenly origin. But to the leaders in Israel, it appeared as a root out of a dry ground. They took the plant and bruised it and trampled it under their unholy feet. Their thought was to destroy it forever. Next slide, please. Continuing. But the heavenly husbandman never lost sight of his plant. Men thought they had killed it. He took it and replanted it on the other side of the wall. The vine stalk was to be no longer visible. It was hidden from the rude assaults of men, for the branches of the vine hung over the wall. They were to represent the vine. Through them, grafts might still be united to the vine. From them, fruit has been obtained. There has been a harvest which the passers-by have plucked. The Desire of Ages, page 675, paragraph 2.
I am the vine, ye are the branches, Christ said to his disciples. Though he was about to be removed from them, their spiritual union with him was to be unchanged. The connection of the branch with the vine, he said, represents the relation you are to sustain with me. The scion means a young shoot is engrafted into the living vine, and fiber by fiber. Next slide, please. Continuing, vine by vine. Vein by vein, sorry, it grows into the vine stalk. The life of the vine becomes the life of the branch. So the soul, dead in trespass and sin, receives life through connection with Christ. By faith in him as a personal savior, the union is formed. Next slide, please. On the side. Continuing on the side, it says, Jesus, the vine, we are the branches. It says, John 15, 1 through 17, beginning fruitful branch. Margin, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31 through 32, King James Version. It says, when Christ was crucified. Amen. Continuing, the Desire of Ages, page 675. Paragraph 3, the sinner unites his weakness to Christ's strength, his emptiness to Christ's fullness, his frailty to Christ's enduring might. Then he has the mind of Christ. The humanity of Christ has touched our humanity, and our humanity has touched divinity. Thus, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, man becomes partaker of the divine nature. He's accepted in the beloved. Ephesians, on the side, it says Ephesians 1, 6 through 9, King James Version. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us acceptable in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he had abounded toward us in all wisdom, and prudence, having made known unto us the majesty of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. Amen.
Amen. Well, dear ones, let us consider 1 Peter 3:15. Most sanctified, O Lord God, in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks through all reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And with that said, dear ones, what have we learned and ways we have grown? These are the 6 questions that I held for our review. So I pray, dear ones, that everyone can be able to share what it is that they have learned in these 8 lessons, even if it's 8 lessons, this one also. What is the first answer to the question, who is the main character or characters?
The main character or characters as continues to be Jesus, his disciples, and now we see the people of Israel here also being spoken of.
Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story?
The answer to question 2 is Jesus comparing himself with a grapevine.
And to add on to the main idea for number 2, we see that we can do nothing of our own self, and we can enter into this mission by no other way than to claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. He is the true vine, and we, the believers, are the branches.
Number 3, where did the story take place, dear ones?
The story continues to take place in the upper room as he's preparing them for what is about to happen. But here we see somewhere else introduced into the story. We see the hills of Palestine introduced, for which it was stated that the vine was planted. And we know that vine, we're going to get into a little bit deeper about that.
Does anybody else would like to be able to share their answer to number 3?
That's the good amount, all of it.
Amen. So we're going to number 4. Where did the story begin, dear ones?
The story begins on their way to Gethsemane as they went to the Mount Olivet.
We are in number 5. How could you relate to the story, dear ones?
My answer to number 5 is Jesus' comparison with the grapevine is a saying for a sinner to connect to Christ to renew his or her life.
I would like to add to that. The Lord refers to himself as a true vine, and we are the branches. And in the vine, he speaks to his disciples about only through him there could be developed a spiritual life. And we are also to develop that spiritual life. And the only way we can develop that spiritual life is by dwelling in him and he in us.
Anybody else would like to share their answer? I just would like to make a statement. Did you see how beautiful the Lord had actually took? We are in part 8. Did you see how long and how careful and how tenderly he dealt with the disciples towards preparing them for what they was about to be able to embark? He couldn't remove the trials, but in the trials, he was able to explain what are the events that was coming ahead and also dealt with each one individually. Isn't it beautiful that we still have the same Savior today? even though that is so many trials and tribulations that are happening, if you keep in mind the tenderness that the Lord had done, that even through those trials, he will be with us and he will take the same sweet time that he had given to his disciple, to every disciple of his that believe in his name. I just wanted to highlight that statement. And who else would like to be able to share number 6?
In number 6, I learned that the Heavenly Father is the husbandman who has planted the vine on the in Palestine, and that he has never lost sight of that plant, even though it was trampled, and even they thought of eliminating it altogether. Even when they did that, which is Christ, and ultimately when they crucified him, he replanted the plant on the other side of the wall, as it says. And he left provision still for us to still have a hope to, in other words, to be saved and to be able to have an opportunity to for salvation. So that's something that I learned.
And also, he had given them provision. He had made it like a provision that they would be okay later on.
This is Sister Gina.
Yeah, you understand what I said?
No.
Like, he gave them provision that they're going to be okay. You know, they couldn't see it, but he also gave them that promise that they would overcome it.
Thank you so much, dear sister. And I also wanted to add that the same way how the Lord prepared his disciple in his first advent, he's going to do the same thing for the remnant people. Even though some may be cut off because of death, because we know some of us are going to take that also for the purpose of the gospel, the works do follow them. Even though they could not see Jesus for a little bit of time, I don't want to give away for next Sabbath, which is part 9, but when he was hidden, even though he was not there with them, the Father was still taking care of that branch that they tried to destroy. Because when they did went through with the crucifixion, they just magnify his work, and the work continued to spread just as the vine has done as well. Well, dear ones, today is our question and answer. So we're going to preserve Sister Cece's question on slides 26, just to be able to spare some time by God's grace. We have 2 thoughts that will be shared, and a poem as well. This one is taken from The Signs of the Time, June 13, 1906, paragraph 1-6. If any one of the dear brethren would like to read and share it in the room, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sharing a thought taken from The Signs of the Times, dated June 13, 1906. But the enemy knows that to a great degree the mind is affected by that upon which it feeds. He is seeking to lead both the youth and those of mature age to read storybooks, tales, and other literature. Those who yield to this temptation soon lose their relish for solid reading. They have no interest in Bible study. Their moral powers become enfeebled. Sin appears less and less repulsive. There is manifest an increasing unfaithfulness, a growing distaste for life's practical duties. As the mind becomes perverted, it is ready to grasp any reading of a stimulating character. Thus the way is open for Satan to bring the soul fully under his domination. The Bible is the book of books. If you love the Word of God, searching it as you have opportunity, that you may come into the possession of the rich treasure that it contains, and be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, then you may be assured that Jesus is drawing you to himself. But to read the scriptures in a casual way, without seeking to comprehend Christ's lessons, or to comply with his requirements, is not enough. There are treasures in the Word of God that can be discovered only by sinking the shaft deep into the mines of truth.
By the word of God, we are to overcome every temptation of the enemy. Satan may present every attraction, bring to our notice every deceiving, alluring bribe, and seeking to eclipse the brightness of Jesus from our view, and to obliterate from our minds his plainest requirements. But we are to meet his deceptions with the word of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, in spiritual darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all. When the end.
By the word of, excuse me.
When the enemy begins to draw away the mind from Jesus, to shed away his mercy, his love, his all-sufficiency, do not devote precious time to the consideration of your feelings, but flee to the word. In the scriptures, Christ is presented as the one by whom God made the world. He is the light of the world, and as a seeker for light, study for the word. He finds heavenly illumination. Christ, the all-absorbing theme, is revealed to his soul, and he sees the requirements of God to be of a Christ-like character. He studies the conditions on which redemption may be his, sees the divinity of his Savior, the desire of his atonement, the efficacy of the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and Christ becomes all and in all to his soul. He sees in the scriptures that which the casual reader does not see. Significance and value beyond computation, he comes with a teachable spirit to the word and is instructed by both the Old and New Testament. Signs of the Times, December 3rd, 1894, paragraph
45. Amen. Thank you so much, dear ones. And for our poem entitled My Bible and I, this is taken from Finding and Understanding the Word, student, page 18, Children Bible Activity Book, Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. If any one of the dear brethren would like to take one of the verses, you may be able to unmute your mic.
My Bible.
Go ahead, sister.
My Bible and I, Finding and Understanding the Word, student, page 18. Oh, I think mommy already read that. Okay. We travel together, my Bible and I, through all kinds of weather with smile or with sigh. In sorrow or sunshine, in tempest or calm, thy friendship unchanging, my lamp and my psalm.
We are traveled together, my Bible and I. When life had grown weary and death and was nigh, but all through the darkness of mist and of wrong, I found thee a solace, a prayer, a song.
So now who shall part us, my Bible and I? Shallism or schism or new lights that try? Shall shadow for substance or stone for good bread supplant its sound wisdom, give folly instead?
Ah, no, my dear Bible, revealer of life, thou sword of the spirit put error to flight, and still through life's journey until my last breath, we'll travel together, my Bible and I. The 2 Timothy 2:15, King James Version, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen. We can hold the testimony by God's grace, because this is question and answer, and we will have the opportunity to be able to do so today by God's grace. Next week, we will be continuing with part 9 of our lesson entitled, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, in our storybook, Desired Ages. If any one of the brethren, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to close our family meeting with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father, we thank you first of all for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for all the studies that you have given us in the children's Bible study, Lord. We pray that we are able to take them into the week and into our life permanently. Bless all the children that was here and that was listening and participating. Bless the parents as well. Be with the ones that are afflicted. Father, please put a healing hand upon them at this time. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. We continue to look for them throughout the day as we go on to the next section of the studies. I pray for your blessing upon the speaker. Be with us here and that everything will be into your honor and glory in no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, that will be April 2nd, 2022, we will continue with part 9 of our chapter 73 entitled, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, and that will be lesson 353. Hope and pray all of you were blessed, dear ones, and may you all have a blessed Sabbath.